This episode of Emulate This, five-card stud airs his grievances with the Sega Dreamcast. Well, sort of. Then we discuss the early awkward days of 3D gaming. And later, we'll review GoldenEye 64. So now, it's time to start the show. Mike, take it away.
Press start.
Emulate This. How you doing?
I'm sorry. What was that?
That was that lion sound. Yeah, that threw me off.
It's fucking Goro.
Oh, was that Goro? Oh man,
do it
Goro.
Again. Do it again.
Let's yeah, let's
again.
Hear that one again. Some Goro.
Added a punch to it.
Nice.
You've been there. I know what that's like.
All right. Back again. How was your Christmas, everybody?
Oh, man. It was crazy.
It was a good time. A good time.
So merry I could shit.
Oh, that's great. That's wonderful. Wonderful. Now, we are now pushing on to the new year, to 2017.
To better things.
To better things. Yeah, yeah.
All right. I'm getting a little happy
and more soundboard.
Soundboard happy.
We have a good show. We're... Five Card's going to air some grievances.
Starting a new segment to the show.
New segment.
Stick.
What's that? Five Card, what'd you say?
Hopefully it's going to stick.
Well, we'll see what happens. It's all up to you.
It's up to you.
So it's got to make the cut.
You're going to just, you know, don't fuck up.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, Jesus Christ.
Right.
Something's got to go right.
And we're also going to talk about the early 3D games from the 90s. Now, what do you mean by 3D? Not 3D glasses, not new TV type games. So we're talking about
not
3D
Rad
perspective.
Racer.
Right. Not 2D. We're talking about 3D, like Wolfenstein and stuff like that, and Tomb Raider.
Rad Racer was ahead of its time.
Rad Racer, yes. Rad Racer was. It was ahead of its time. And you got to pick what song you wanted to listen to as you were cruising. That's not a bad game, though, Rad Racer.
Rad Racer is great.
No, it's not an awful game.
No, yeah, I liked it then. I like it now.
And then, like in the movie The Wizard, you could use the Power Glove.
Fuck the power glove.
What did the kid say when you put on the power glove? They need to go like, it's so choice.
Grab my ass.
Something like that.
Freddie Savage.
I've never seen a real power glove in my life.
No, I haven't either.
I've never seen one.
I had a friend that had one.
Did you?
Timmy.
Really? Timmy?
Yeah, Timmy had one.
You making that up?
No, I'm serious.
He really had a power glove?
A friend
really?
Named Tim had a power glove.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or was it
what
Mike?
Else did he do with that glove?
Or was it Mike?
One of them, yeah.
No. Tim had a Vectrex, which was fucking awesome.
Vectrex.
Oh, yes.
Wow. Vectrex, huh?
Yeah.
Never even seen a Vectrex.
You
had a power glove and a Vectrex?
No. I think a friend of mine, Mike, had a power glove, and Tim had the Vectrex.
Oh, okay. Vectrex. All right. Cool. And we're also going to review GoldenEye 64 for, obviously, the Nintendo 64.
Right, man.
One of my favorite games of all time.
Awesome.
I know.
Just awesome.
It's an incredible game. Lots of memories with that one. But, so...
landmark game.
It is an absolute landmark game.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Changed the landscape of multiplayer forever. Forever. So first, let's get to what we've been playing. And I'm going to start with Rory in the command bunker.
Oh, there you go. Well,
thank
it up.
God.
We're going to go abroad.
Leave me alone.
We're going to go abroad. I've been playing DuckTales for the NES.
Oh, my God. DuckTales, dude, the best game ever. Fucking best game ever.
It was really good.
It's a great game. It still holds up.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want to be a rich duck that, you know, hangs
swims
out with
in
his
money.
Nephews?
Mm-hmm.
First game I ever beat.
That was the first game you ever beat?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Very Mega Man-y.
Capcom.
But yeah, Capcom. Music.
You know, it's funny because the game, you don't have a direct attack. You can only pogo people or, like, use your cane and, like, golf club.
Which is fun as balls.
Right, right.
It is, yeah, the pogo mechanic is really well implemented, and the gameplay is built around that.
Mm-hmm.
But it is odd to play a game that you don't actually have a direct attack other than jumping.
Right. Yep.
Like, even Mario had, like, a tail in some games.
And a fireball, too.
You could throw, or a fireball you could throw vegetables into.
Yeah.
The only thing I don't like about it, and now we know because we've all played the game for, like, 30-plus years, but... If you're new to that game, you have to like swap around and go to different levels because you need the key from Transylvania to get into the mine.
Yeah.
Like there's that kind of stuff. So it's not a straight shot per se. Like you actually have to go to Transylvania a minimum three times.
Yeah, backtracking.
Which mm-hmm. which is not good. Like they kind of got lazy because you have to do it in the last episode. Not in the last episode, last level.
Okay.
And you have to go to Transylvania. And they could have come up with another level, I think.
I don't like that part of it. Like, and the remake of the game, DuckTales Remastered, which is for like the last generation games, like PS3. It might even be on Xbox One.
That's the one where they talk and everything, right?
It's one where they talk with a full voice acting cast. That's excellent. Also an excellent game. They remove that stuff where there's backtracking. And in fact, the episodes have no reference to one another at all.
Right, right.
Well, I say episodes. Like, now I got Mike's going to be saying that shit. The different levels have no references, so you don't have to go over to Transylvania to get the key to the mine and stuff like that.
You know what's a little lame is you say you go to Transylvania first thinking that you can get the key for the mine.
Yeah.
You can't do that. Like, you have to go into the African mine, go to that thing where it's like, you got to go back to Transylvania, then go to Transylvania, then get the key.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you can't, like, think ahead or something like that.
Yeah.
And that's kind of shitty.
It's a pretty solid game.
It is.
Shovel Knight. They took kind of, like, his move.
Put
into Shovel Knight. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's pretty much the same thing, you know?
I'd just like to say that the music in The Moon, I think, you know.
Oh, yeah, it's got really great. Good music.
Holy
yeah,
shit. Yeah. It's, like, fucking, like, Beethoven could have written that.
Yeah, that's, like, a famous song.
Amazing.
Yeah.
They took their time with that game.
It just
same composer, I believe, of Mega Man 2. I'm sorry, Rory, go ahead.
Just to summarize the game, we can move on. It's just DuckTales is a licensed game that's freaking amazing.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
How often does that happen?
Not
like,
much.
Usually licensed games are dog shit.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, there are exceptions, like the Batman for NES,
yeah,
the first
too.
One is licensed, and it's great, although it's not based on any of the movies, per se. It's probably more... based on itself.
Yeah, there's not many games like that. Aladdin was good.
Very few.
Mm.
Aladdin
Genesis,
is another great
yeah.
example of a licensed property that's great.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, there's not many games like that at all. All right, how about you? What have you been playing?
You know, I've been looking for a good baseball game. And
I have one for you.
There's, well, hold on now. There's like about 1,000 of them on this RetroPie, and there's always something wrong. You know, some of the things they get right, like the hitting's good and the pitching sucks, or the hitting's good and the pitching's good, but the fielding sucks on almost every game. They should have, like, explode the view, like a super zoom out of the whole stadium so that you could see where the ball's going on a pop fly.
Well, what system are you talking about? You're talking about...
It doesn't matter. 8-bit, 16-bit.
Yeah, it's tough on 8-bit.
And I don't want to hear about RBI baseball. I really don't.
That's one of my favorite games.
I can understand
but
that.
What do you mean you don't want to hear it? You don't like the game?
I don't think it counts as a playable game. It is so antiquated.
It's so playable.
It is not. It's like a home run derby.
It's great.
What are the fielders doing? They're having fucking seizures. Are they even trying to field the ball?
You take that into account.
They're
you take it into account.
Rory, you want to go out and get a drink?
It's unplayable right now.
It's not unplayable.
You can't install it.
It's like the Beatles and rock and roll. I know. It's like the Beatles and rock and roll. Everybody appreciates that, but they're not the best band ever. Okay, there's been bands that come that were better, and that's just
RBI
to say, there's been baseball games that have been better, and it's not playable anymore for me.
Who sings the DuckTales song? I like that guy. What's his name?
I don't know. What? Anyway, after playing about 50 baseball games, I finally came to Triple Play Baseball on the Genesis, and it's the only one that I can stick with for more than 5 innings.
All right,
more than 4 innings.
Well, yeah. All right, I'm going to count on that. On the Genesis, I had World Series Baseball.
Okay.
Which I thought was good. It was an odd game because of the batter's eye and all that stuff.
Yeah,
kinda,
did that have the license of the names and the teams? Because a lot of times, like, the game will be good, but it doesn't have the
players. It had the players.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Because this one's good because, you know, I'm the Phillies. And it's got fucking Nails, Dutch Dalton.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's got the crew, man.
Yeah, yeah, and Twitches. I mean, it's fucking...
Yeah, well, that was... it was probably put out the same time as World Series Baseball. And, yeah, and you got... World Series Baseball 94, so it was the 93 team, the 93 World Series team.
Right.
So you had all those guys. Yeah, like Kruk, Dykstra, Dave Hollins, the
whole
crew.
Jimmy Eisenreich.
Yeah, yeah, Jim Eisenreich.
Jimmy
Twitches. Right, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Kurt Schilling.
Oh, yeah. Terry fucking Stringbean Mulholland on the mound. Yeah.
I played a Braves. I love playing against the Braves in that game. You see all the old Braves guys?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I love playing those fuckers.
The Ken Griffey games weren't that bad for SNES either. But
no, they were really fun.
They had
the first one, right?
The first one.
What was the one when you hit a home run, the cat would come out and dance?
You're thinking of Baseball Stars 2, which is what I recommend.
I'm thinking of Baseball Stars.
That was pretty good.
Baseball Stars 2, it's an arcade game. It's not realistic. It's awesome.
Yeah, it is more fun than the realistic games. But of the realistic games, the only one I could really stick with was Triple Play Baseball.
Mine is the best baseball game of all time. I know the newer ones have better graphics.
Right.
But this game still holds up. MVP Baseball 2005.
Okay.
GameCube. I had it for PS2.
Okay. So
that game is fucking amazing. I think that might be the best baseball game, video game of all time.
Never played that
Everything's
one.
Everything's tight about it.
Okay.
The controls, the hitting. It's a perfect game. And in the new games, actually, I think in the show, they have settings where you can use the old controls from that game because they were so dead on.
Right.
Like the pitching controls and the batting controls and the fielding and stuff like that. That's a perfect baseball game. And the soundtrack's good, too.
Yeah. That's my main complaint from these old baseball games is the fielding is dog shit.
Yeah.
I mean, the outfielding, I should say. The infielding on a lot of the games is good, but they just fucked up with the camera.
On
how to play the ball in the outfield, in my opinion.
I actually have MVP Baseball right there on the GameCube. It's actually, I'm telling you, it's awesome.
I want to see it.
Like, you'll see this game, and you'll be like, this was put out that long ago in, like, 2004. It's ridiculous.
Right.
And the game still looks good.
Nice. So, all right, I'm taking up a lot of time with the baseball game.
All right.
In the new games, I've been playing Homefront The Revolution. Okay, now that got shitful reviews when it came out, and you know what? That's for good reason. It came out like a couple months ago. I got it for $11 on sale on Black Friday. That's how.
Yeah, so
that's
$11.
Yeah, it was very ill received. They fixed a lot of it, but it still has issues. I've like fallen through the map, and it's just repetitive. And
right,
I didn't even get my $11 out of
it.
I don't think
really?
Yeah,
really?
I even,
it's that bad.
Yeah, well, no, it's not terrible. It just doesn't. It's just not inventive at all.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's just dry.
Huh. The original Homefront got like the mark of death for being like that. Like,
actually, the first game was way better than this one.
But what I'm saying is, like, it's considered to be like mediocre is to say it's generous. Like, it's considered to be like a subpar game, and that probably that mark, keeping that name of the franchise with it, probably hurts the future iterations.
Right. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it was $11. It came out like 2 months ago, and it's fucking $11. So, and for good reason. They did fix it a little and update it, but it's still not. It's not very good.
All right, Mike. How about you?
Red Dead.
You're on the Red Dead. Well, that's fine. That's fine. You're working your way through, trying to catch up,
and a lot of Atari stuff.
A lot of Atari stuff.
Yeah, I'm getting ready for the. Next time we do the Odyssey.
Cool. Cool. Yep. All right. I've been playing, having a lot of time, but I've been playing, I just put in a game that I've played a ton when I was younger, and I still play it every now and then. Greatest Heavyweights on the Genesis.
Okay.
Create a character, start out low. I created a guy, Rory and I used to create a character in many games, more like NBA games called the Big Ass Ham. And we would just make him unstoppable. He was like this short, heavy guy with a beard, with a bald head.
Right.
So I made that guy in the game. So, and I just kick ass.
Nice.
I don't remember how we came up with the name Big Ass Ham, but it's
I don't know, but it's funny. Yeah.
You can't
beat
that.
No, I think you should change your name from Five Card Stud to Big Ass
Ham.
Big
Ass Ham. Yeah, I like it. Rum Ham. Yeah.
Rum Ham.
But yeah, Greatest Heavyweights is fun. It's a game. It's a weird, I don't know. I think it's one of the best boxing games. And, you know, the new ones are awesome. Like Fight Night and stuff like that. You know, I think those games are incredible, but they're so realistic. You have to actually pace yourself through the fight. You know, they're incredibly they're like a simulator.
The stamina and all that.
Yeah. That game is more like button mashing, but there's a technique to it. Like for you know, as far as 16-bit can handle.
It's fun,
And it's fun because you'll be blasting through the ranks and then you get to like one dude that you just can't handle this guy. And you're like, what the fuck? Like he can hit you no matter what, do uppercuts, jabs, and you just can't get near him. So eventually you lose and then you just go, all right, fuck it. I'm not going to fight that guy. You can actually jump over somebody you know, but you can only jump over a rank so far.
Okay.
And then you have to train in between like fights and stuff like that and decide on what you want to work on, your stamina, your power and speed and stuff like that. It's a fun game. It's a fun game.
Cool, cool. And are you fighting fictional boxers or were they actual boxers?
You eventually get to the greats. So you would start out fighting a bunch of like, you know, just fictional dudes.
Right.
And then eventually you get to the top guys.
Muhammad Ali and shit.
Yeah, Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier, Lewis and stuff like that. So it's a fun game. Rory and I play it every now and then.
It's a great multiplayer game to just go have at it.
Yeah, it wears your thumbs out.
Mm.
Absolutely wears your thumbs out. So let's get to our new segment. All right.
You want a piece of me?
Rory's airing of grievances. Rory, take it away. What's pissing you off this week?
So I got back into the Dreamcast recently because I've been inspired by the show to play older games.
On a console, too.
On a console, no less. So I thought, okay, I think I don't have really too many Dreamcast games. I actually sold, and I regret it very much. I sold a lot of the backup copies I had of stuff. So I eventually made the commitment that I'm going to go do it. So then I had to go research, because I haven't done this in probably 8 years, maybe closer to 10, about burning Dreamcast games. So you would think it'd be really simple, but of course, no, nothing is freaking simple. So my takeaway from this whole experience is that you don't realize how convenient and how much you take it for granted, like a cartridge emulation is, compared to freaking like getting media and then putting it on another freaking media and then playing that freaking media. Like, I don't do
right.
Like, other than, say, the 360, I don't play anything on its actual media. Like, it's just
you're like
a real pain in the
king of the emulators.
Right, exactly.
So,
right.
I'm not, believe me, I'm going right back into my little, I'm going right back into my safe space. I'm getting right the hell out of this. So, anyway, let me start with my first problem, is finding freaking CDRs. And you think, well, they're very easy to find.
Yeah, just go to your local, like, CVS, Walgreens, pick up a pack.
Okay. Yeah, they're everywhere.
Okay, now, sounds easy enough, but let me talk about the quantity of CDRs, okay?
Okay.
I don't want 100 goddamn CDRs.
For fuck's sake, you Jesus cheap bastard.
What am I
going to
do with
100
CDRs?
You're going to burn 100 Dreamcast games. Come on.
So yeah. what do you want a pack of, like 5?
No. I want 10? A pack of like 30. Not
all right.
For fuck's sake, dude.
Oh, my God.
Jesus, Mary and Joseph.
You are a cheap bastard. You know that?
No,
you're getting this fucking...
No, 100. No, this is the thing. The 100 is almost like a dollar more than the 30. But like, what am I going to do with like 70?
Are you fucking kidding me? Wow. Are you kidding me? One fucking
more.
Dollar? You better be joking.
Are you going to start having...
You get 70 more for a fucking dollar?
It's like a manufacturer like making him.
Use them as coasters. I don't fucking know. Throw them at your kids. Who the fuck cares? It's a dollar for 70 more. Who fucking cares?
I don't know. I'm not doing it.
Set them up out back and shoot them.
Make a necklace.
Yeah.
So I finally found what I wanted. Okay, I got the CDRs, and again, they have to be a certain type. They have to. Well, the brand doesn't matter, but they must be at least 70 minute. I believe it's 80 minutes.
80 minutes.
And they have to be 700 megabyte. Okay. Otherwise, they won't work. I actually reimaged my laptop not too long ago that has the DVD drive, so I could burn it. And I didn't realize this until I was about 8 discs in that I wasn't burning the images.
Right.
So then
I had to find
the free. I didn't realize this because I don't really use the DVD drive anymore. In fact, a lot of computers nowadays don't even have them. They're made without any type of optical media. So I had to find the freaking drivers. And, of course, these assholes, they don't have it easily to find, or it's a different version.
Okay.
So I was making, basically, and I wasn't actually wasting them. I was just the programs are going through all the motions and burning the disks, except they weren't actually using the laser and putting them on. You understand? So, like, I put a blank CDR in. Run the program to burn it, and then I take it out, and there's nothing on it because it didn't actually burn a goddamn thing.
Why?
It was pantomiming.
Why?
It was pantomiming because it didn't have the damn drivers.
Okay, so
asshole. So I thought, all right, well, maybe it's the program. So I used a different program called Boot Dreams. Okay, back like
how did you find this? How did you find Boot Dreams?
Well, Boot Dreams, like again, I was into this like 10 years ago.
Okay,
so Boot Dreams was like Boot Dreams is really good because you could make custom Dreamcasts images with it. Like, if you have the folders and you have the certain files that you need to boot up the game without without like a boot disk, Boot Dreams is a great program.
Right, right.
I don't remember how to fucking use Boot Dreams. Boot Dreams is like one of the, like, the most cryptic goddamn programs in the world. It doesn't help you at all.
And it's old too, right? So
it's
no one's talking about it anymore, right? So if you went on a forum and like Boot Dreams, you know.
No, you really there's only like one website.
No one's gonna help you.
okay. Let me give you another example. Okay. So I finally cracked and said, you know what, I don't know what the freaking problem is. So I went and used my wife's old computer that we didn't reimage, and I used ImageBurn with specific Dreamcast drivers.
Right.
Or added extra, okay, not stock. And then you can burn anything with ImageBurn now, depending on the extra stuff you have, like PS2 games, for example.
Okay.
That's a different one. So basically, once I start burning the stuff, and when you know, like, this is something that really drives me nuts, is that the internet is great, okay? I love the internet, okay? You can get so much information. There's more information out there in the world than there's ever existed at any point in human history up until now.
Yeah, okay? It's pretty insane.
To be alive now is amazing, okay? And you know, when your kids have kids, it'll be different too. Like, it'll be even better. But the internet is also, at this point, also horrible, and for a lot of reasons. And the biggest reason, I think, is the invention of the forum, okay? I despise fucking forums, okay?
The problem with the forum is, whenever you go on there to look for something, there's always some asshole that fucks everything up and goes on a tangent about something totally different.
Yeah, changes the subject.
Totally different, right.
However, real quick, I would just say, for those of you who don't know, I don't know if it's just Chrome, if you're just using Chrome or if you're using Internet Explorer, but Control F brings up a box.
Okay.
And you can type the thing in that you want to see. And on the right-hand side, it'll have yellow lines when you're scrolling down.
Oh, it'll be like highlighted.
Where it actually mentions that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's
how you do that.
Control F. But the issue is that amateur support has replaced, like, and again, these are like, I don't want to say they're pirate programs, but they're used for piracy. So there isn't like an official channel that's going to support this stuff. But this is true for lots of products, including things that have nothing to do with video games.
Right,
right. They rely on the forums to solve their bugs and their problems rather than like actual like testing. And just some that just really irks me. For me to find like support about, what the hell am I doing wrong? Like, I've done this, and it's still not fucking working. Like, what is the goddamn issue?
Yeah, so how'd you end up doing it?
Honestly, trial and error. Like, the directions that came with the last burning program and the special drivers was pretty vague. Like, and I'm not an idiot when it comes to computers, okay? I think I'm not a computer programmer, but I'm not helpless, okay? And if I can't figure it out, then I don't know, you kind of fucked it up. So anyway, I finally through trial and error figured it out, and I burned it on my wife's computer. And this is my last topic about Dreamcast burning. I go, this would be true for anything, I guess, any type of media burning, like PlayStation 2 games. God damn it, again, with the freaking mislabeling of stuff. I cannot tell you how many times.
With the games?
With the games.
Okay.
So not only just like packing errors. Let's say they take a game that's 700 megabytes and they pack it into sub-RAR files, which means like they take an image and they make mini images or mini zip files of that image, okay? So it's smaller. They're crushing it down from 700 to maybe 200 megabytes because it's easier to download.
Right.
Well, they fuck it up and they don't do it right. So when you try to unpack it, it's not complete.
Well, who's corrupt. Doing this? Who labels it?
Who do we send the bill to?
Who is this jerk off?
Well, you know, you might laugh and think, well, you know, you get what you pay for. But let me tell you something. If that's the only
you pay for, what are you paying
want,
for?
He's paying for 100 CDs when he only wants 30.
You paid an extra dollar. This is what you get.
Well, the discs themselves have nothing to do with the images of the disc that you're downloading.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Christ.
So my point is, there's a lot of, like, bad, they're either corrupted images or they're mislabeled. I can't tell you how many times I downloaded something that I thought was the American version. No, it's the friggin' European version. It doesn't play on a goddamn, doesn't play on RTVs, or it looks awful.
So you may have to do a game like four times before you nail it.
Yeah, see, that's another thing. Or you burn it and it doesn't work, and the system doesn't know that it doesn't work. It you know, it doesn't really like test it, for example, and say like, this isn't gonna work. It doesn't fucking know. Okay.
You ever get a virus doing this?
I'm sure you could, but a lot of these sites,
have quality control?
I would think that they're quality control to a certain extent. Like, they're definitely virus scans.
Okay.
Huh. But, like, you know, they could be bad images, bad rips, bad audio, stuff like that. Or they're fucking mislabeled. And then you come to questions like, let's say you wanted this game really bad, like Choo Choo Rocket, okay? And you find three images of it, two of them don't work, and one of them is the wrong region. Do you want to risk a third attempt? Like, if you fucked up five discs in a row, okay, do I want to risk another one?
Sounds like you need all those extra discs that you're complaining about.
You might need 100.
Well, you might still need have like 60 of them. All
he right? buys
well,
more. He buys CDs. More CDs. They're like, I knew you'd be back.
I don't fucking.
He's like, the guy that we have a pack of 500 CDs for $5 extra. You're the only guy that's coming in. They're like, here's this comes this fucking guy.
I have a shirt that has like the Dreamcast.
Mark up the price.
So, in closing, I remember now how much of a pain in the ass it was to burn media onto onto discs to play in the Dreamcast.
Yep.
I got a couple dozen, made some copies for friends. Bullshit.
And it all worked out in the long run.
It all worked out in the long
it
run.
It was all worth it.
Probably like a 2-week endeavor, a couple hours a day researching.
Right,
again,
right.
Forums are the bane of my existence.
They suck.
I fucking hate forums, and I hate because they go off on these tangents, like you said, where they talk about freaking Donald Trump.
Right.
All right, Donald Trump has nothing to do with Dreamcast.
He might. We don't know.
He has nothing to do with the Dreamcast.
Oh shit!
All right. Well, Rory. Well, you know, you pulled through. You got it done. You got it done, and that concludes Rory's airing of grievances. First ever on the Emulate This podcast. Solving his Dreamcast problems.
There you go.
One disc at a time.
God bless.
All right, sir.
Let's move on to our next topic. Now, we are going to go over 3D gaming, early days of 3D gaming. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Transition.
What's that?
Transition from 2D to 3D.
Yeah, transition from 2D to 3D.
Yeah, you're talking about the transition between the two. And when they added that third dimension to games, it was groundbreaking.
Okay.
We all grew up with the 2D sprites on a 2D map. Okay. If a game was like pseudo 3D on like the Super Nintendo or the Nintendo, it was like an overhead or like a isometric. Not really 3D.
Right.
In the sense of like, say again, like Red Dead, where you walk into a world and you can go in any direction for, you know, an hour.
Are you talking Wolfenstein or Doom?
Wolfenstein. I don't believe Wolfenstein and Doom are actually 3D because
they're 3D because you're going forward and backward. You're not going up and down, but you're going forward and backward, to side.
Yeah, it has.
It's an illusion. You're not really 3D,
right? And the fucking that was brutal with the D-pad. Yeah. Trying to play like Doom and Wolfenstein with the D-pad on the Genesis and SNES. Man,
don't aim up and down. That's why it's not 3D.
Right.
No,
right.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no vertical axis. Like, it's all well done in a way that fool you with, like, optical illusions.
It's a 3D perspective. It looks that way. Yeah, yeah. It's 3D perspective. It's first person. So you're not on a side scroll in 2D like Mario 3.
A bunch of episodes ago, we talked about Solaris. That's a very early example of that
you're
perspective,
right. Yeah.
too.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. I mean, that's pretty much, Wolfenstein. You're going forward, you know. Yeah.
Contra. Those base stages kind of have that 3D perspective.
They gave you an effect. They gave you an effect.
They kind of have an effect. Let me give you a great example, okay? Think about playing.
Our examples aren't great.
Yeah.
Your examples are better.
I'm about to move on to the real examples, but go ahead.
Okay, all right. Let me give you my top example, okay?
All right.
So you're playing, let's say, the NES Zelda, okay? It's an overhead kind of isometric, and then you put it down, okay, and then you pick up the N64 Zeldas that really are 3D, where you can go into a world and you can stop and actually pause in first person mode and look at objects,
right?
Or you can aim, okay. None of that shit, none of those angles and those perspectives, or the worlds even. Like, you could literally walk into like the Majora's Mask, okay, go into a room. And the puzzles are you have to look around the room in all directions, including up and down, okay, to look for a little icon or something to hit or shoot or grapple onto if you're later on the game and you have the hook shot. Like, that kind of perspective and I don't want to say like activities, but like that kind of gameplay didn't exist prior to that generation.
No, it didn't. And that's where, that's kind of like where we're headed with the conversation. By early days of 3D gaming, we're talking games like that, like Mario 64, that Zelda, Tomb Raider, and stuff like that, where you had full movement all around, and you could jump up, you could look up, you know, you knew you could spin around, you know, that was the early days of 3D gaming. The problem with that, that plagued a lot of those games now, they seem so dated because of the controls.
That's what
killed those games.
They
don't age cameras. Right.
The camera was invented at that point, like, because now you are like the director, so to speak, and you can move what you can see depending on the game, obviously. So, like, you know, I don't actually like Mario 64. I really don't like that.
It's hard to play now. It's hard to play now.
Well, it hasn't aged well, but the camera...
It's brutal.
...is bouncing off the wall.
Brutal.
It's fucking stuck in the wall.
Yeah. Never liked it.
Yeah, and the only problem I had with the 64 as far as the camera was is you had to use those C buttons, right? And not every game even had them, and it was just awkward. It really just needed a second analog.
Right.
And the second analog stick in the PlayStation is what really changed everything.
Right, because that was like you could guide and turn.
At that point, they learned their lessons.
They learned their lessons.
That controller's a little awkward, too.
The 64.
Yeah. Oh, the 64, Now, were you guys, did you guys hold both ends, or did you hold the little end? The little
I tilted the controller.
I held the middle end.
Yeah, what do you mean hold
both
ends?
Like, you could hold the outside.
Oh, I didn't do that. No, I held the middle end.
Or hold the middle, okay. Yeah. I held the outside. Yeah. Sort of, and I was like a freak. Everybody looked at me funny.
Yeah, that is weird, man.
It felt more comfortable to me.
Oh, really? And that was a far reach, though, for your thumb.
Well, I mean, you know.
And then
that's how big your hands are, homie. You know what I'm saying? Oh.
And hit the middle trigger button, that makes it kind of difficult, too.
Yeah. Yeah, underneath.
I guess you
did. Yeah, how would you hit that?
You got it
done. I don't think I even needed it.
That's a magic fingers there.
I just remember that. You could hit the trigger with the being on the outside.
You can.
Yeah, I guess you could. Yeah, it's been a while since I had one of those controllers. But I know, even back in those days... Now, we're going to talk about, you know, one of the great that kind of set the bar for these 3D games, GoldenEye. We're going to talk about that later. But everything before that, I just remember thinking, even when these games were new, the controls weren't right.
No.
Like, even though they looked great, you knew, even when they were new, that they're just not there yet with the controls. Even as
SNES
a kid, I was just like, I don't like this.
And the problem was the SNES and Genesis had their game maxed out, man. And they were at 60 frames per second, and everything moved real smooth. It wasn't janky. Yeah, it wasn't janky. Everything was
real
smooth.
They weren't
janky
either.
So basically,
it was a weird transition.
It was hard to transition.
It was weird.
You were looking at the other games, and even though they weren't 3D, they still just played way smoother, especially in the beginning.
Yeah. I just remember Tomb Raider, and I know that was a good game for PlayStation, but I just couldn't get over the camera angles. Yeah. I didn't like how you couldn't swing a camera through around a wall.
Yeah,
it wouldn't adjust.
No,
you just couldn't see what was going on.
Exactly.
You know, I just felt like you had tunnel vision back in those games.
Yeah. Tomb Raider is a very good example about.
But that was like third person.
Not like doing the transition well. Although again, the fact that you could walk around in an environment is amazing.
Yeah.
They're not going to have that break until, we talked about VR in a previous episode. That will be the next step where it's more more realistic and, you know, obviously affordable as well with more support.
Right.
But that will be the next transition. But another great example of really a bad fuck up or implementation is like the Castlevania 64 games. Like the cameras in those games are awful.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
You fight that shit constantly because that game is a heavy platformer. And there's a lot of twitch movements because guys are moving all around you in all directions. Castlevania does not work in 3D.
No, that's a 2D scroller.
Right, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no way. I remember back when it was Doom. Well, Doom, you couldn't aim up and down, right? Was that right? You can't aim up and down?
No.
You don't. There's no option.
Oh, it's automatic.
You just automatically hit them. The game knows.
Okay. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
you just hit the shoot button.
It was
in that
game. It was tanky. Yeah, you were just like moving forward and turning, and the corridors were turning with you, but it wasn't completely 360. There was no up and down.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
You were all
right.
In the same plane the whole time.
So mainly the issue with the controls wasn't first person; it was third person games. You're looking at your character move around.
No, first person was a pain in the dick. It made me sick. You know what I mean?
It was the infancy of that. transition. It so was like very they didn't know enough. Yeah. They didn't know enough about it at that point. Like now you can play, I mean, there are some games that have bad cameras and stuff like that for nowadays. Like you could play again, Red Dead's a great example. Like Red Dead, they figured out most of that shit. And you know, there are certain examples where like you go into a building and you might be like, ah, fuck, I really can't see what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But that's the exception rather than the rule. Most of that game is great with this with the right C stick, moving it around.
Yep.
You can even look at yourself going towards the camera.
Right, no, like, right, yeah, no you're right, issue. Yeah.
Like they've solved a lot of that and worked out the bugs, and now it's like the default. And it's old hat now, but again, it's tough for me to go back in time to that age. But transitioning from, you know, 2D Zelda to a 3D Zelda is amazing because now you really feel like you're in that world.
Yep, yep. And
you're not watching it, you're experiencing it.
Right, exactly. Yeah, well, they slowly got, I mean, obviously they got better because I think the systems got more powerful, and I think that helps out with the camera angles. You know, when they're not as powerful,
yeah.
I assume, I mean, I'm not like a tech
it can't render
programmer.
As well. No, you're right.
It has to adjust so much. If there's a wall behind you, and I assume if the camera has to swing around the wall, but to account for the wall, the screen has to render everything quickly.
All over again, yeah.
You know what I mean? So
no,
the
totally,
old systems weren't
totally
capable of it, so that wall was like a roadblock in the camera. You know, no.
I'm sure there's a technical reason why they couldn't make it always go the opposite angles that you really wanted, probably because it wasn't possible.
Right.
Like it had to draw the world a certain way and it couldn't do it.
Right. One of my favorite games, this is going back to PS2. I believe it's PS2. I'm pretty sure it's PS2. 3D style game that I thought nailed, you know, the 3D before, you know, the newer systems. Was Shadow of the Colossus.
Shadow of the Colossus.
That game's incredible.
Wow. Yeah, that was good.
It's such an incredible game. You feel like you're in a world.
Yeah.
You know, and the cameras, it didn't never felt like it was in a bad spot.
No.
You know? I thought that was an incredible game.
That was good.
But we're going to get to the review GoldenEye 64. I could listen to this every day.
Yeah, it's awesome. I know. Ooh.
Yeah, GoldenEye 64 for the Nintendo 64. This is a game that set the bar in many different areas.
Changed the game,
The
man.
Technology, you know, with 3D, first-person shooters. I guess third-person. Is it third-person?
No, it's a first-person shooter.
Yeah, first-person shooter. That's right. It set the bar with multiplayer.
Yeah, every game had to have multiplayer.
After this,
that.
It ruined.
You weren't selling your game if you didn't put multiplayer in it.
It was first-person. The first game, to the best of my knowledge, that brought PC, because multiplayer was very big on the PC, okay, at that time.
Correct.
And it brought it, very well to the consoles.
Right.
And the N64, because it had four controller ports stock right there on the board.
Yeah, it was made for multiplayer.
It was made. Like, it was, like, great. It was not only, like, the right platform, but the right IP, because Bond is never out of fashion.
Yep.
And it was like, the right time for game development, where they were starting 3D. And, you know, I mean, that game is not just like a milestone for gaming. Like, it literally changed.
Yeah.
Everything emulated that, or it copied part of that formula from that point on.
Absolutely. This game was put out in 1997, which is weird. For some reason in my head, I thought it was earlier.
It does feel
yeah,
earlier.
Yeah, the movie came out in 95. Earlier. This game was put out in 97. And this is actually the third best-selling Nintendo 64 game of all time. Before that, it was, ahead of it, Mario Kart 64. And Mario 64. So you two Mario games.
They're juggernauts. You're not going
to GoldenEye. No, right. Exactly.
Yeah, no.
I mean, this has to be number three. You know?
Oh, sure.
What else would be ahead of this?
Nothing.
You know, other than Mario.
I kind of feel
Mario
like whenever
games.
You hear Nintendo 64, you kind of think of GoldenEye.
That's what
at least for me.
I mean,
for me.
That's what I think.
And
of,
Mario
yeah.
Kart. I think of Mario Kart.
Mario Kart.
Yeah. I don't know. It does seem like it came out before 97.
It really does. I feel
it's
like
weird.
I was like 11 and 12 when I was at my buddy's house.
We were older than that.
I remember junior high playing
okay.
this. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
I remember playing at Rory's house.
Oh, yeah.
I think I got it for my birthday. It's funny because the game takes the first-person shooter formula, But it's not just like go on this board, kill everybody. They gave you objectives.
Several.
To the best, yeah, to the best of my, and they were difficulty based. So yeah. Like, if you played on easy, you only had two objectives, and if you played on hard, you might have like 5 to 7. Right. Okay. And to the best of my knowledge, no games, at least on the consoles, had objectives. It was just like, doom, yep. kill everybody, yep. get a key.
And that stealth.
Was yeah. Find the chalice.
And there were parts of the, you could say that there were some elements of stealth. There were some elements of strategy, like you had to lure people.
It was
the game had some bugs, too. Like, you could get into some funny scenarios with people and stuff.
You get stuck in the bathroom door. Yeah. That happened to me a couple of times. You could get stuck in the bathroom doors and not be able to move.
Or they'll get stuck, or, like, you can't, like, open a door. Like, somebody dies in the doorway, and like, the automated door won't reopen and stuff like that.
Or
like,
the guy's on the other side of the door, and his face is through the door. And you shoot his face, but he's on the other side
of the door. It's one of the first games I can remember where a bad guy can set an alarm off and call more bad guys. Like, when that first happens, you're like, what the fuck? They can do that in video games now? Yeah. They see me? You know?
Yeah.
Well, I think the Metal Gears do that, but, like, it's not in that 3D world. And, like, you, like, there are
some photo finishes in that game. Well, the Metal Gears do that. That's right. They alert. Yeah.
Where the guys, they'll see you and they'll run, but they'll run slow towards that.
Right.
And, like, you're, like, aiming with the freaking PP7, like, trying to hit them, pick them off and shit. You know what's great about that game is that they've animated it doesn't hold up nowadays, but at the time, like, they animated it really well. So, like, you could, like, shoot a guy in the leg, it'll grab his leg. You could shoot him in the hand and he'll drop his gun. You could shoot him in the back,
you're
and
right.
like grab his back. So you could, like, torture people in that
you
game.
Shoot his hat off. Shoot him in the balls.
Shoot his hats off. Yeah. You can, like, keep shooting people in the balls and stuff, like, and they won't die with one hit. At least in the campaign.
Right.
No, they won't.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There's some really iconic levels in the campaign, too, like the facility,
the movie.
The dam, the first level, the boat, we have to save hostages.
Yep.
It's a great one. The train with the freaking pocket watch laser to cut out the hole. And they're hated levels, too, like the jungle. Mm. I hate the fucking jungle. Oh, the jungle. The bases. Hate the bases. Or the cradle, the last level.
The controls in that game, there was one thing about the controls. I never liked the inverted controls, so I would always switch it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, down is up, up is down.
Yeah, what am I flying? A fucking plane?
Yeah,
is this a plane?
Is this the yaw?
No, this is... Yeah.
Yeah, I hated that shit. I never understood. Rory, did you play it inverted?
Inverted, yes.
Yeah, you did?
I got used to it.
You're a communist.
No,
I could not get used to that.
Play...
You're a commie.
Yeah.
Where they play inverted. Where the aiming is with the C buttons. Like, there's multiple ways to play, and I used to play once in a while with guys that would play with the C buttons, and the guy was a dead shot. Like, he would hit you because he wasn't aiming with his left fingers, you know, with his left thumb.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because the C buttons, it was always like, you know, it wouldn't change the height of his shot, and that guy was a fucking dead shot, but I could never play like that.
No, it was awkward.
It's kind of cool how you can, like, approach it differently.
Each person can
approach it differently.
It was definitely a skill thing. Like, I kind of sucked at playing multiplayer.
Oh, man, that was the best part, though. It was so fun. The cheap shit you could do to each other with the proximity mines all over the fucking place, dude. Oh, the proximity mines.
Yeah, you would just wait for somebody to walk in the room. You would just lay them everywhere and just hide and be like,
yeah, yeah. I would put them in the ammo box, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
then they go. Oh, what a cock.
Totally. You put it down.
Yeah.
Then you grab the ammo box and then you run away. And then you couldn't see the mine through the ammo box when it respawned. And people come over to get ammo and blow the fuck up. Oh, dude, it was so much fun.
What's the bathroom level at
the facility?
Yeah,
so that's like the second level.
Yeah, you would go in the lab. Like, I remember going in the lab, and I would just lay a bunch of lines out in the hallway, and you'd wait for somebody to come through and open up that fucking hallway door, and you could hear the door open, and you're looking through the window, and all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose out in the hallway. Yeah. It's great.
Yeah, it's funny that you would think that game on the N64 would have a lot of slowdown. At least in the multiplayer.
Mm.
But I don't remember that ever being an issue. And you could make... It was great because you could customize the shit out of the multiplayer.
Yeah.
So, like, you could pick not only your characters... And there are great fucking characters in that
there
game.
There are Boris.
Boris. Well, first off, it was no odd job. You couldn't be odd job.
Oh, no, fuck off.
No,
he was too short. You couldn't hit him.
Yeah.
But you could like, you would like, we would play with like my brothers and like Ryan's brother. So like you would have your stock character. So like I would always be the scientist with brown hair, Dr. Oak. Like I would always, and you would see the scientist like pat, like shoot you. They you'd see on my screen, I said like when red, when you were dying, like I'd be running the fuck away. You'd see like the lab coat. Like my other brother, he would always pick the helicopter pilot. Always. So you see like a guy with the fucking helmet on.
You knew it was Ian.
The shades and shit. Yeah. You could customize the weapons, so like yeah. You could play our
we
stock
used to paintball
way to play
mode.
Was oh paintball is great too because you could see all
one
like,
hit kills
the yeah. Harbage on the wall
yeah
golden but, gun
like, oh
we
yes,
definitely
yeah.
Could always play one hit kills with power weapons. That was like our mm. Default one, the shotguns yeah. The RPG the R what is it the RPC 80
RCP 90 dude
yeah,
so
right.
Overpowered
yeah.
So dirty
that's a great fight and
badass gun
shotguns. Oh man!
Remember slaps only.
Slaps
only. We'd do that once in a while, and that was just fucking
I'm
hysterical. Because you'd be four in one room, and nobody could hit each other.
Yeah, you would try like 100 times. Yes, and it never worked.
That's why you say that because a guy who's unarmed, okay, actually,
it's harder to
is
kill.
The most dangerous fucking people yeah. In the world.
They just come sliding in the room on their knees. You're like, oh shit, you can't fucking hit them.
You'll be like, you'll have like the automatic machine gun, and you're shooting all over it. Right? Yeah, you kill yeah. People left, right, and there's a guy on like the bed, floating on ducking on one knee, floating around, slapping at you, and you're fucking running from him because you can't hit his ass because yeah. It's so ridiculous.
Yeah, you're just laughing. Yeah, the whole game was just fucking with people. It was
oh,
teaming
totally.
Up on somebody, or it was just fucking with people,
just
or
laugh and
that's yeah.
And it wasn't even a game where you would go, "That's cheap," and this and that, and get mad at each other.
You wouldn't get mad. You would laugh.
Fun. You laugh
because the animations are fucking hysterical when somebody gets blown up yeah. And they're like flipping through the air. You know.
Yeah, I never played a game that was so much fun multiplayer centric that drew so many friends.
Oh,
from
we used
the
to have like
in.
8 to 10 people.
Yeah,
we just
people
rotate.
Were waiting for their turn. Yeah,
yeah.
Rotate.
It is, it is
yeah.
True because I mean at that yeah. Point I was out of video games and I would
we
still go to you know GoldenEye yeah. Parties and yeah. Fucking like, and I would even yeah. I would sit in and you know make a complete fool out of myself
and it'd be fun to watch people play. You would just sit there and laugh your ass off.
Oh, yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And then it would rank you and tell you how fucking shitty you
yeah,
are.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah, get the fuck out
yeah,
of here.
Yeah, the ranks
Mike.
Were always like demeaning. It was like, man, I suck. I would always be like the bottom, you know? I'd be the one that like I would have one match and then out.
Yeah.
I'd be done.
We did whoever won got to stay in, depending
yeah.
On how many people
yeah.
There were. Or,
yeah.
You know.
Well, you make up your own games in the game. That's what's so great about it.
We
used to
made
do
our own
King
games.
Of the Bathrooms. The
yeah,
last
yeah.
One in the bathroom when the siren went off at the end won.
We would play 10-minute yeah. Rounds, and we'd make up a game called King of the Bathroom. So if you had to go, didn't matter where you spawned in
the whole fucking time.
You had to go to the bathroom. You couldn't like sit like in like that whole like office complex that's on the other end of the facility. You had to go to
right,
the fucking
right.
Bathroom. You didn't have a choice. And like you would team up with other people because there would be a guy right by the door and you couldn't get in there. Okay, so like you would like have two or three guys outside the bathroom doors on the steps.
Yeah,
like,
but you would
right,
always double cross somebody at the end. Like I'll
like,
team up with you. But
yeah, yeah, dirty.
You would have like these like quick and dirty like relationships. You'd be like, all right, we're all gonna run it at once, and like then the guy would like have like proximity mines on the door or like time mines. But whoever's in the bathroom at the end of the timer won. Like,
yeah,
that was our,
we would do that for hours.
Game.
Yeah, it didn't matter how many kills you had. Nothing.
No. Great.
You had to survive in the bathroom. Whoever was there at the end.
Bathroom.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, this is what the game. Somebody heard about it at school. But did you ever play the safety doorknob game?
No.
All right. Well, it's based on farting, and
okay.
You know when you're like 14 years old, farting's like the greatest thing
right,
ever.
Right.
It's the funniest, greatest thing ever. So basically, if you farted, you had to call safety. Okay. Now.
What do you mean? If you farted in real life?
Yeah. Oh, in real life. Yeah. Now, if you farted and somebody else called doorknob before you called safety, everyone could pummel the shit out of you until you went and touched the closest doorknob in the house.
Okay.
So when somebody farted and yelled doorknob, like you had to drop the controller right away because there's no.
So you only did this when you were playing GoldenEye.
Only when we were playing GoldenEye. And what ended the game was we would beat the hell out of each other. You know what I mean? And then. People were calling safety way too fast, so we got pissed. We weren't able to beat anybody up. Now they're hitting in the face and the balls. It's,
right,
it's
right.
A friendly
yeah,
beating.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
So one time, we got rid of the safety thing. You weren't allowed to call safety anymore. You had to get to the doorknob. You were getting beat up if you farted.
Right.
So, what ended it was our friend Bobby, he was a little nuts. He farted and then just laid down on the ground, arms and legs out, and we're all pummeling the hell out of him. And he's laughing.
Why'd he lay on the ground? Was he playing possum?
Yeah, no, he was go ahead and hit me. Yeah, go ahead and hit me. So after like a minute, and that's a pretty long time to be punching somebody, you know what I mean? Of him just laughing. We all like kind of just gradually stood up and kind of looked at each other and were like, what have we become? You know what I mean? But anyway, it was just a fun part of Golden
Eye. It's like your own little side game.
Yeah, it's a side game. A game outside the game.
That's funny as shit.
Yeah, the sound effects in that game are great too.
Like they are.
The slapping sound, the death sound.
Yeah.
The clob sound or the Soviet assault rifle.
The clob. Like I always hated the clob was inaccurate.
It was.
Like it would just fire like fucking crazy, and the guy would be running, and you couldn't fucking hit. The bullets would just be spraying all over the room. The clob was brutal.
Yeah.
I don't like the clob.
No, the clob. Terrible. No, it was.
No, I never used it.
Yeah, the was the RPC 90.
RCP 90.
Yeah, the RPC 90 was the game
that's
to have.
The best.
Yeah,
the
that power was gun.
The gun. Or the gun to have. So I'm sorry. Dirty. Yeah.
So did you ever play with people that didn't kill guys that were unarmed? Like they if you didn't have a
what
weapon,
you
got a free pass.
No,
fuck that.
If
you don't have a weapon, I'm going to slap your ass.
They made up their own rule where like there was an honor code where you wouldn't kill an unarmed man. But and I was shooting them. They're like, oh, that's a foul.
How the hell would you know somebody was unarmed? You could put your gun away.
Well, maybe they would call, I'm unarmed or something.
Look, I'm unarmed.
Yeah, look, I'm unarmed. I'm easy to kill.
Since you walk out of the room, I got you in the back.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Fuck that.
Sucker.
But, like, I thought about it. I said, am I a vicious animal? Like, I thought about that because I immediately mowed him down. Animal. I didn't even
think
you
are, but not for that.
I fucking just mowed him down.
No safe spaces in GoldenEye. Are you fucking kidding me? What is this?
Yeah, there's none. No. It's a free-for-all.
We used to make up other fun things. Like, if you killed a guy with a magnum or a shotgun, you had to say Wyatt Earp. I remember that.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, I forgot about that. That was weird.
If you killed a guy with a magnum.
I don't know why.
What? Wait, is that like a Boondock Saints reference?
Remember, he does that
in Boondock Saints where he like shoots the whole fucking room of people, and then he's like, "Why a fucking Earp?"
Maybe that's where we got it from.
Maybe I got it from there.
I don't know. I didn't even see Boondock Saints before that.
Hmm.
No.
I don't know.
It was fun picking people off with a magnum.
So we'll talk about the levels. The multiplayer levels are pretty much all I remember. I mean, I've played the campaign, but not as much as multiplayer. I mean, multiplayer was the shit. It was almost like that's what you want to do.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost like GTA 5. It's like you want to play multiplayer.
Right.
One of my favorite levels in that game was the stack.
Okay.
The stack's great.
The stack was great. Yeah, with the two rooms, upper level, lower level.
That's right. Everyone met.
Yeah, the stack's awesome.
Stack's amazing. The library, I believe.
Where the library. Like, wait. Remind me of the library. I'm trying to think of it.
Maybe it's not called the library. It's like there's an upper row, okay, and then like there's like bookshelf. In the actual campaign, I believe it is a library, or it's a book repository or something like that.
Okay.
And like you could look over like the edge on the second story, and you could see guys running between the cover, and there'd be like
glass
doors.
Yeah.
So you would shoot a grenade or throw a grenade or like shoot a rocket into the glass doors and they would explode. And there's lots of hidden walls. Like you could open a hidden panel and get behind it.
Right. Oh, I know what you're talking about now. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
That's a fun level too.
Well, the stack had a lot of hidden rooms too, didn't it?
Stack.
Hallways and shit like that.
The facility is hands down my favorite, and then stack. But like, I'm pretty sure that was a good level. I don't think the boat level or the silo level. The silo is another great level.
You didn't like the boat level, dude? The frigate?
I have to refresh my memory here
with some of these levels.
I think the frigate was a multiplayer level, wasn't it? It was really tight. It was really tight in close quarters. Maybe I'm thinking of a different game.
I don't think it was. I think the temple is another one that comes to my mind about the multiplayer. The temple was very big. In fact, it had like multiple. It was like three rows of or three height levels.
I don't think we played the temple that often, do we?
No, because it's not. Because you could spend. We try to keep it at 10-minute games, 10-minute rounds.
Yeah, yeah.
You might spend 3 minutes walking just to find somebody in the temple. It's too big.
Right, right.
Way too big. The complex is another example. It's too big.
Okay, I remember the silo. I don't remember playing it too often, though.
I don't remember that being a level.
We did...
multiplayer.
I think we did the facility the most.
Oh, well, King of the Bathroom.
I mean, we would just spend hours playing that. I don't know. I wasn't good with the aiming in that game, though. The aiming was it was slow or something. I sucked. I sucked at aiming.
I liked the basement because it was real tight. It was small. Remember the basement? It was like a shitty like dark brown color, but at the same time, it was so tight, and everybody wound up. It always went, turned into a fucking clusterfuck because everybody's running into each other basement. At the same time. It was such a small.
Wait, is this the one? What was the one when you were up? You could go up top and like pick people off down below. Is that the temple or the basement?
I think that's stack.
You're thinking of the stack, right?
Yeah.
Wait, no. It's a different one. It's a different one. Or am I thinking of Perfect Dark?
I don't know. Maybe you're thinking of Perfect Dark.
Maybe I might
be.
Oh,
the Archives?
The Archives. Is it the Archives?
It was like an office.
Eric's right. The Archives.
It was like an office.
Where you could go through. There was like a lattice fence, but you could go through it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
I do. Yeah. It's all running together right now.
Man, I am trying to.
I think
GoldenEye 64.
I think it's Archives.
I think what you're thinking of, Ryan, is Perfect Dark.
Is that what I'm thinking of?
Well,
I think you're thinking of Perfect Dark. I think it's called The Complex.
While we're trying to figure that out, there is a fan project out called GoldenEye Source.
And oh, really?
A bunch of guys recreated the game in HD with like 25 levels.
Hmm.
And it's only multiplayer, but I mean, that's what's great about it.
Yeah,
so,
that's what you want.
Yeah, you can download that shit online. It's called GoldenEye Source. You can get the torrent or the file for Steam just about anywhere. Just Google that shit if anybody, you know.
Oh, really? That's awesome.
Is into that. Yeah, for PC. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Look into that.
You need Steam.
Well, it depends. You can get it for Steam, or you can just get the torrent and play it from the torrent, from what I understand. No, you may need to have Steam. Not that Steam isn't fucking free or anything. Just download Steam.
That's awesome.
But it's a free game, yeah.
I might look into that. That's cool.
I watch some videos of it, and it's in HD, so, you know, they retouched it, and it looks really good, man.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, oh, man, I wish my PC didn't suck balls, you know?
We broke it out, I guess, like, maybe 3 years ago, the 64.
Okay.
And we tried playing it, but we were having problems with the 64, but we played it enough. Where an HD version would be nice, because the old version, even though it's good, it's still a little bit of a shock when you play it. It still looks
it's
very
disoriented.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So I think an HD version
and it doesn't
would help out.
It does not hold up on the
HD TV.
No,
yeah, no, it looks like shit.
It's a shame that they'll never officially re-release it because it's a property. It's a license thing. I mean, it's probably three or four licenses over between 007. The movie, you know, like they'll never remake that game.
Well, they had a newer GoldenEye. Was it? They did a remake of it. Didn't they do a remake of that game?
On PS3, I think it's just like the in name only. It's not actually a remake of the game.
Mm. Yeah, it's.
I think it's just using the GoldenEye name. But I haven't played it, but I don't believe it's like Eric said, like a remake of GoldenEye. I just think it uses the name.
Mm-hmm. You can't remake it, like redo. You almost can't capture that magic again of that GoldenEye.
You should really look into the this new thing. It looks pretty sweet, man.
Yeah,
it looks really. Yeah,
I'm gonna check that out.
GoldenEye
That's awesome.
Source. Yeah, it looks pretty cool.
GoldenEye Source.
Is there? Go ahead.
I'm waiting for Panic Restaurant Source.
Oh! Yeah, we missed that on the last show.
There it is. My God.
What happened on the last show? We totally missed it.
Yeah, so the show's over now.
Yeah.
Well, that's
We're not going to do the show anymore. We missed
it. We're done. Yeah. Happy New
Year. Fucking
toast.
Bullshit.
Toast. Yeah. But is it the best game based on a movie? I mean, if you think about it.
I think it might be. That
you
game
put me on a spot there.
I know.
I almost think that game made the movie.
One of the best.
That movie got more popular because of the game.
You could be right about that.
And the game came out 2 years later.
Yeah, because I didn't give two fucks about the movie.
Until I played
the game. Although older people really didn't give two fucks about the game, and they just wanted to see Bond.
The Brosnan ones, I wasn't a big fan of.
Yeah, it was all right.
I'm not a fan of Pierce. I don't hate him, but I'm not a fan of him. My James Bond is Roger Moore.
Yeah, God. I don't like him goofy and stupid. I like him hardcore like the new ones.
Yeah, the new ones are awesome.
Yeah, the new ones are big.
Yeah.
It's a different James Bond. He's like a serial killer.
Right,
like,
Pierce Brosnan ones were kind of cartoony in a way.
Yeah. I prefer goofy.
You almost thought that the Brosnan, GoldenEye 007, was based on the game.
You would think.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well,
by the way.
Yeah, we didn't give two shits about that.
Right.
Movie.
But when you watch the movie now, I watched a movie about 2 years ago.
Except for that hot Russian.
It was on
bitch.
TV. Was yeah, Natalia.
Natalia. Goldeneye?
Natalia. Yeah.
Jesus.
I watched the movie. And all I thought about the whole time I was watching the movie was the fucking game. Yeah, like, yeah. I was like, oh, that's yeah. the. Like,
yeah, I know
that's
Boris.
The facility. That's the bathroom.
That asshole.
I've been there.
Speaking of Natalia, how many times? Because you have to protect her in like
five
levels.
Oh, she is a stupid ass. You shoot her. How many she gets right in the way?
Yeah, she's a pain in the ass. Yeah.
You just walk in front of a Russian with a fucking claw and get murdered.
I killed her about 1,000. I failed the 1 minute. You couldn't play her missions on hard. You couldn't do it. Because it's like 2 bullets and she was fucking dead. And she'd walk right in front of you every fucking time.
Didn't need her in it. Didn't need
her in the game. She's horrible. Killed it.
But, yeah. So that game started.
Started the multiplayer revolution, man.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it did. Since then, games like, you know, all of them, Battlefield, Call of Duty, they
all of them.
Eric's right. Every game after that had to have attacked on multiplayer.
Absolutely. Yeah,
shit or death
absolutely.
Match, multiplayer.
All first-person shooters, anyway.
Yep.
At least, the first-person shooters. And a lot of them are garbage. Like, they didn't get what made GoldenEye great.
No.
Right. One of the best games of all time.
For sure.
It's an historic game.
I think it's the best game for 64.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I love Mario Kart for 64. It's good. One of my favorite Mario Kart games is for 64.
But you knew it was going to be good. You knew Mario Kart was going to be good.
It's always good.
GoldenEye was like a surprise.
It was like, what the hell?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So, all right. So what do you guys think of GoldenEye? Obviously.
Collect it, man.
Collect, buy, whatever the, you know.
Collect.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Unanimous. Rory.
Unfortunately, you really can't emulate it. I'm not aware of any 64 emulator that plays this game well.
Yeah, it's all...
What, the controls? Or
choppy.
What?
No,
choppy.
I mean it's the choppiness.
Like
you would
3 frames per second.
That modern computers could emulate the N64 well, but I guess it's just very difficult to emulate because most games on the N64 emulate like shit.
Yeah.
They really do. Like there are exceptions. Like
I've played some. Like simple games you can play, like Mario Party and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They work fine.
It depends on the emulator or like the port of the emulator. Like, but for the most part, a good rule of thumb is the N64 really is not emulatable or it's not well done yet.
Yeah.
I would say if you had an N64, you should get this game if you don't already have it.
I do too. And I think if you buy an N64, if you've never had one before and you want to go out and buy one, Mike, you bought an N64.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you bought GoldenEye.
I got it cheap.
Yeah. Yeah. You got the game cheap, too?
What, for $30?
Really? The system?
Mm-hmm.
And how much you pay for the game?
They're not rare.
Controllers?
What's that?
Cheap.
How much you pay for the game? GoldenEye.
The game I went to the store.
Okay.
I was just in Doylestown walking around, so I went to the store. So I paid a little more. The game was $28.
Yeah.
You can probably get
64
it.
64 games are expensive.
You can get pretty it on pricey. eBay for like $22.
Really?
$2.
Yeah, I mean, they're somewhat pricey, though. The Mario games, like Mario Kart and stuff like that, it's pricey for the 64. But if you have a 64 and you don't have GoldenEye and you never played GoldenEye, get the fucking game. It's fun.
I mean, you want that in your collection. Do you even play video games?
Yeah,
you never played GoldenEye? It's absolutely.
It's almost like saying you never played Super Mario 3 and lived in that era.
You know, it's like what Mario was to... 2D side-scrolling platformers. GoldenEye was to first-person shooters. So.
Cool. Well, we'll collect.
Absolutely.
So
it's unanimous.
Perfect. Well, let's close this one out. Episode 13. Thanks for joining us. You can find us on Facebook, Emulate This, on Twitter, at Emulate This, and email us, emulatethis@outlook.com. All right, thanks for listening. Send us emails. Send us suggestions on games we should review.
That's right.
And also for the hypothetical segment, we didn't do it, you know, in the last couple shows, but we're going to get back to the hypotheticals.
Yeah, send us pictures of you naked, too.
That's right.
All right, I don't care who you are.
Use discretion.
Let's keep it legal, for Christ's sake, yeah.
All right, thanks, and see us.
Pathetic fool.